This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a wonderful Saturday.
It absolutely is, and we're not in the hundreds, so it's not like 1,000 degrees outside anymore. It's a nice cool down. It's very nice.
It is cool down. I mean, you know, anytime it's under 100, it's a good thing.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to some friends of mine that are in other parts of the country, and I told them, I said, they're like, well, what's it like over there? It looks like it's hot. And I said, well, you know, we're actually cooling down. It's only going to be like 95. And they're like, that's a cool down? And I'm like, yeah, compared to 110, yeah.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you how cool it is. Mm-hmm. Friends of mine took their little MG, and they drove through Death Valley, and it doesn't have an air conditioner.
Really?
He owns 10 little MGs.
Does he really?
Yes, and I love every one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and anyway, they decided to go across country in this thing without an air conditioner. Just for the fun of it.
Just for the fun of it. Huh?
They wanted to take the little car on a drive.
that's
too much for me.
It's a pretty serious drive.
That's a serious drive.
Although I've heard if you go through Death Valley and you drive through there, you're not supposed to run the air conditioner because apparently it runs down the car and overheats and all kinds of bad
all
things.
All kinds of things happen.
Boy, that's hot.
It is hot. And they just got back and survived it, and they thought they had a great time.
Oh, really?
And he said, you know, my wife talked me into this.
Uh-huh.
I said, I cannot believe you'd let your wife talk you into that. You know, I mean, how crazy can you get?
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people do things like that, mm-hmm. you know, a death-defying trip like that. But apparently they had a good time.
Well, as long as they had a good time, they got to see some sights, probably, I guess, take their time and really take in the scenery.
Yes, and I know he's went on these trips before, like they would have a race from California to some other place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's went on a lot of those little races.
Really?
Yes. So I guess out there he knew, you know, how to make the journey.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, I would not do that, but that's just me.
Exactly. Yeah, it sounds like huge fun, though.
I think it would be.
I'm not sure I want to.
If everything was right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Plenty of air conditioning, plenty of water and sandwiches. And
oh, yeah, I'd be thinking of a lot of water.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe a case of that in the back.
At least.
Yeah, at least a case of water.
Wow.
But, yes. Well, let's give out the phone number.
Let's do that.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330, and we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And don't forget, you can always go to the website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com, where you can find case studies of past investments, money that people have actually been making. You can see exactly what they've made. You can see what their experience is like. There's all kinds of testimonials on there. This is all about growing your money so that you can retire happy, wealthy, and early.
That's right. And, you know, we talked about the up-ledger policies, mm-hmm. 1 and 2, last week, that money had went in the bank, and Bank of Utah should have that credited to their accounts today.
Really?
It takes Bank of Utah a little while. I mean, they always want to hold on to that money as long as they can.
Oh, who doesn't?
Before they credit it to their base account.
Mm-hmm.
But up-ledger is, you know, we talked last week, $4 million policy. And it came in 2.5 months.
Wow.
So, you know, if you can make 15% or even 18% in 2.5 months, you're not doing bad.
No, that's not bad at all, especially when the money that you make is going up instead of, like, some situations where the money you make is going down.
That's right. Well, remember that. Money can never go down. Your policy can never go down that you're invested in because it is a life insurance policy.
Yes.
Which is a good thing.
Completely separate from the stock market.
It is completely separate. It has nothing to do with the stock market. You know, the stock market, like we say, you know, up and down and sideways. Mm-hmm. And now they're predicting that by October it's going to have a crash. That's crazy.
Really?
Yes. And I don't know what to believe. I don't know if it'll stay steady, if it'll keep going up. But somebody this week was saying, oh, we're going to have a crash by October. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, not another one.
Wow, like a 2008 type of crash? Or...
I don't know how if they meant just a little bit or you know, a regular one.
Wow.
I don't know. But, you know, there's always so much conflict in the world. It affects the stock market every day.
Yeah.
And then it's affected by the brokers, you know, whether it's a broker that's knowledgeable or one that's just, you know, scooting along.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it does end up crashing in October, that's only 3 months away.
That's right.
We're talking 90 days.
That's right. You know, we are in the middle of the year. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
Half the year is already gone.
Yeah.
And also, you were asking me the other day how much actual money, you know, had been paid to people.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday we did a whole synopsis, and from October to now, we have paid out $38
million. Really?
And that is $8 million profit for the clients.
Wow.
So they've made $8 million profit since October.
That is incredible.
I think it's pretty dadgum incredible myself.
Wow.
I didn't realize how much it was. I knew we'd had a tremendous amount of policies mature, but when we did it and added it all up and added every policy in, there's over $8 million profit from October to right now.
You know, that's an awful lot of worry-free money to be made.
It is. It's a lot of money for anybody to make.
It's a lot of that kind of money makes a lot of people do a lot of things, whether it's retire or travel or, you know, take that money.
Or keep going. A lot of them have to keep going.
Exactly.
Because, you know, they're 60.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's another 5 or 7 years before they're going to retire.
Yeah.
Unless they retire early. And, you know, we had a lot of people do that this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another thing that I've noticed this week, a lot of people from San Antonio, Fort Worth, all different places, are retiring to the Caribbean.
The Caribbean?
Yes. You know, I had a client ask me, Faye, if we moved to the Caribbean, would you still take care of our account? I said, sure. But I am shocked. These people that are not around lakes, like Fort Worth, Texas, I saw there was a couple moved to St. Troy,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of our Virgin Islands. And then the other one, the Dominican Republic. They're from San Antonio. They were moving to the Dominican Republic. And I've seen a lot of people from the United States moving to the Caribbean.
Wow. I knew people, like, go to where water is, but I didn't realize they were doing it quite so extreme.
They are going to extremes. They want real water. They want to see the ocean every day.
Well, yeah, I guess the Caribbean is ocean and real
water.
It
is all ocean and islands, little islands. And they're moving to these different islands. Now, what my question is, how long will it be before they move back?
Yeah.
Because how many days can you look at the ocean?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Now, I could do it a month.
Yeah, sure.
But could you do that every day for the rest of your life?
I don't know, because if you're retired for, what, 20, 30, 40 years,
yeah,
and you're looking at that every day, I would imagine probably at some point I want to go to the mall or I want to go.
You can forget the mall.
Yeah.
You can forget all the women's things, like beauty shops probably and all that. I imagine they do their own hair there.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty old-fashioned.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's not like quite as modern.
It's not very modern, no.
Yeah.
And I just didn't understand it exactly.
It's pretty for a while. It's very relaxing, I'm sure.
Very relaxing. It's a beautiful country. All of them were.
Yeah.
Dominican Republic is very beautiful. All of them were.
Mm-hmm.
Costa Rica, some of them moved to Costa Rica. And then St. Croix. And what amazes me there, we have a national park there.
We do?
We do. We have a national park as part of that island.
I didn't know that.
Well, you see, our government doesn't tell us everything.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a national park right there on St. Croix.
Well, I may have to travel then just to see it for like a couple of days.
And it is beautiful. I mean, it is spectacular mountains, spectacular seashore, blue water.
Yeah.
And they were snorkeling. Oh, and one of them had a reef, a barrier reef how these giant turtles that you could see.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Snorkeling is very big. I noticed all of them did do that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of boating, wind sails, just all kinds of things.
Wow. Sounds like a lot of fun.
I think it would be for a short period of time.
Yes. But to get there, you got to be able to retire. You got to be able to afford that.
You've got to have money. Let's face it. If you don't have a retirement income, you know, and one couple said, well, we would still like to work. Well, they bought a charter boating company.
Oh, wow.
And so they're doing charters.
So that's now their own job.
That's right. And one of the others said, well, we're travel agents, and mm-hmm. we can do it online. Now, I don't know how that would work, being a travel agent.
I didn't even know there were travel agents anymore.
I didn't either, no. But there is. And these people said, we do everything online for people.
Wow.
So I guess they can do it.
Well, I guess they work from home and don't even have to do anything.
Yeah, but all the others had retired and were retiring. The couple I saw from San Antonio, you know, was retiring there. He had been an automobile dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's just 30 years he'd wanted to do it.
Wow. How cool.
That's pretty cool.
It's like a lifelong dream, and all of a sudden it can come true.
It came true. He had enough money. So that's what our people should think of. As they're working toward retirement, if you have enough, you could go to the islands and live.
Yeah.
And because we have no water here.
Yeah.
There's no boating right here.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go there and do that the rest of your life.
Yeah. And I'm sure people do other things. Like what people, I assume, travel a lot. You hear stories about people's travels.
Yes, you do.
Go around the country, maybe around the world.
I think a lot of people could do that. They could go to Europe. They could go to all the countries if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And see what is out there.
Yeah.
And then I have some people that have retired. One of my clients is a retired professor, and he takes his motorhome, and he goes, and like he's in New Mexico right now because it's 50 degrees at night, and he loves that. He's
really?
Up in the mountains.
Wow.
But he's been to every state, and he goes and he'll stay a month here, month there, maybe 3 weeks.
Just kind of whatever, whenever, no real
That's
hard
right.
schedule.
No hard schedule, and when it's hot, he's in a cool place.
Nice.
Isn't that nice?
That is great. So, I mean, these are all like some of the wonderful benefits and advantages of being able to retire. Have you seen people come to you and say, gosh, Faye, you know, I've been trying to retire. I haven't really saved enough. I'm not ready. And I think if I do retire, I'm not going to have enough to live on. That's not a place where you want to be.
No, nobody wants to be in that place. Everybody wants to be in the place where they say, Faye, here is my money. I'm going to put it with you. Here's $400,000. Here's $1 million, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I need to grow this where I can retire in 10 years or 5 years.
Yeah.
Some of them, it may just be five.
Yeah.
So they need to get busy and really get that retirement income where it should be.
So somebody who's planning on retiring and they're maybe investing in the stock market, we've all seen it go up and down, especially 2008. It's still fresh wounds.
Yeah.
People are still sometimes not recovered from that. So there's always a possibility of that happening, and now there's somebody that's put out this report, like you say, that the market may crash in October. Is this a situation where people need to panic, or
no,
what needs
no,
to happen?
No, never panic. Just say, how much can I afford to lose?
Mm.
If you can afford to lose, stay where you are.
No.
If you say, you know, at our age, we cannot afford to lose any money, and we've been in the ups and downs of the stock market too long,
yeah.
Then you want to come see me and talk to me about it. And see if we fit. If we're a good fit for you, we'd love to have you.
Yeah.
And we're not a good fit for everybody.
No.
We are for most people.
Mm-hmm.
So when people come and talk to us, you know, we're going to tell them, you know, how it works, how they're going to make their money, and, you know, how safe it is.
Yeah.
And there's risk to everything.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, the biggest risk is if it goes over. And you might have two policies go over. You could have it. And they could go over 2 years. So you have to think about that. But if you're diversified, it will not matter. You're still going to get your profit. You're still going to get your principal. It just may not be on time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ones that have come due this year, as you know, have been significantly earlier than ever before.
Yeah, you've had, what, 15, 24-month policies that have come in two.
That's right. And, you know, we've had some 15-month policies that came in, you know, in 6 months. So they can go to the website. That's the best source. Look at everything. Look at when all these came due.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be shocked. And especially when you find out that we had three that I know of that came due in 2.5 months, and they made 15% to 18% in a very short time.
That's incredible.
It's incredible. And, you know, we had two or three that the people passed away before we could even get them signed.
That's almost cutting it too close.
We cut it too close. But we've had really short ones this year, mm-hmm. which we've never had this many short ones.
Yeah.
So all these short ones should make them extra money, because if it comes in early, we can turn around and do it again.
Yeah. So they can start growing even more money even faster.
That's exactly right, because that's what we're interested in.
That's what it's all about.
We want to grow their money, and we want to do it a little faster.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And I know we have a lot of loyal listeners, and I know you've had people who have been listening to you for years. And then there's some who are not really sure about how the whole process works. So this is not investing in the stock market. This is making an investment in a life insurance policy.
Yes. And these are everything we do is for terminally ill. When people come to us and say, we need to sell our life insurance policy, they have to be terminally ill. If it's not terminally ill, we're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a stage 4 cancer. Now, there is one cancer that is only a stage 3, but all other cancers are stage 4 that we buy because we want to be sure that this is not going to be long-term. We cannot do long-term and make them any money.
Yeah.
You know, now, there is companies that will buy a policy that's 5 to 7 years. Well, we're going to be out of the mood by then.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to hear about that. I want to hear about something that's 27, 30 months or less.
Mm-hmm.
And most of ours are 24, 27, and a lot of them lately are 9 months and 18 months.
Yeah.
So we buy these. We know what they're going to make in advance. We know if they're going to make 24, if they're going to make 27. We know all that in advance. We know what is wrong with the people, what kind of cancer it is. And then we have 1 to 2 reports. If it's under $1 million, we have 1 report. If it's over $1 million, we've got 2 reports.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what helps them. They know a lot about that person and how sick they are.
So you literally know everything about the policyholder before you even bid on a policy.
We have to. We have to know everything about them.
So what are the types of things that you look for? Because, I mean, there could be a policy that comes across your desk and it may look great, but then you start getting into the details and it's not. So you look for these things to avoid those.
Okay, we turned one down yesterday that was prostate cancer. Some prostate cancers are very short, mm-hmm. and that's the ones we would be looking for. But if this guy's already had it for several years, and they're saying it's another 40 months, that prostate cancer is going to last 10 years. So we turned that one down. We don't want one that's not going to be within the next 2 years.
See, that seems very rare, because if I remember right, prostate cancer is one of the most deadly cancers that there are.
I don't think so at all.
No?
No, I don't think prostate cancer is that deadly.
So people are living with it for long
yes.
periods of time.
It's a slow-growing, usually, cancer. Now, we've had a friend that died within 2.5 years.
Oh.
But most of them, it's longer than that.
Oh.
And this guy that we looked at this week had it for 3 or 4 years. He wasn't dead. And that told me it was a slow growing. And they have all the different ways to do it. They can do the surgery. They can do the seed implant. They can do the freeze. There's so many ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it can just last 10 years. And so this one I could tell was going to last a long time, and we do not need that.
No. So what types of cancer do you look for?
Well, pancreatic is one that we've been the most successful with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people with pancreatic cancer, they're not going to last very long. It is deadly. And then colon cancer, everyone says it's the deadliest form of cancer because they never know they have it.
Yeah.
And they'll go on too long before they have it checked.
Mm-hmm.
And they say you can have this checked. If you're over 50, you should have it checked. People don't. If there's not something wrong with them, they don't go have it checked.
Yeah.
And then we've had people that had symptoms and they just put it off, you know? And they weren't, you know, they were feeling bad. Their stomach was feeling bad. Their back was hurting, and they didn't go have it checked.
Wow.
And stomach cancer is deadly because you don't know you have it.
Have you had any more? Because I know there were, for a little while there was a trend of, like, oral cancers.
That is possible also. And this year we've had tongue and tonsil cancers.
Yeah.
And we've found that those are deadly. I never had seen one until this year.
Really?
And we've had three of them. We bought three, and we've already had one that's passed away.
Wow.
And I think it was maybe from snuff in years earlier.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure, but I believe it was, because it seems to have spread real quick.
Wow.
You know? And that's another thing. The cancer policies that we buy, we look to see if it's spread. Mm-hmm. If it's metastasized in four places, you're not going to make it.
Yeah, that's generally a sign that that it's spreading, and it's spreading rapidly.
Yes. It might have started in the lungs, and it may have went to the vertebrae. If it's in the vertebrae and the spine, you know, it's already too late.
Wow.
And we've had ovarian cancer. You know, it's very deadly. Mm-hmm. Women don't know they have that.
So the policyholders, they are diagnosed with cancer, stage four,
uh-huh.
And so they need to sell their policy for a variety of reasons. And so it's not like anybody's coming in and all of a sudden they're losing their policy or anything like that. They need to sell it, and in order for them to do that, there has to be somebody there to buy it. So what are some of the big reasons that people sell their policy?
Mostly, they need the cancer treatment, and they need the cash to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they always think that they know a better way than the doctors. Now, I looked at some yesterday again that they wouldn't do radiation.
Really?
Yeah, and that's strange. Radiation and chemo together, you know, is a good combination. And when you're fighting this thing, you need to fight it with everything you've got. And I notice this all the time. They always think they can go to South America or Mexico and get a cure.
The alternative...
medicines, alternative. When we see an alternative, we buy it.
Yeah.
Because we know they're not going to last long.
That's a big red flag.
It's a big red flag. Now, when people have had surgery, if they've had anything like that, even stem cell, you know, they've got a bigger chance.
Mm-hmm.
But you see all these people that go other places for alternative medicine. And one even said they've been to the chiropractor.
Really?
How is a chiropractor going to help cancer? You tell me.
I don't think it will.
I mean, they work on your muscles.
Yeah.
You know, they're not working on your insides.
No.
And you need somebody that's going to try, you know, with chemo and with radiation to save you.
At what point do you see, and I know this is not really probably a formal, you know, metric that you track, but at what point do people decide to sell their policy? Is it when they've just been diagnosed, or is it when they really feel bad and there's nothing
usually
more?
Usually when they have been in the cancer a little bit and they realize how sick they are.
Mm.
You know, I have a lawyer friend of mine. You know, he's less than 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
In May, they discovered that he had esophagus cancer and it had already moved to his stomach. Now, again, he was having trouble swallowing. My gosh, if you're having trouble swallowing, go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Don't wait till it gets this far. Now he's heavy into chemo. They're also going to do radiation and probably remove his stomach.
Really?
I mean, it's a serious thing.
Wow.
Very serious.
So when somebody decides to sell their policy, is it a sign that they are maybe giving up?
No. None of these people are giving up. It's a sign that they say, I'm going to need treatment, I'm going to need a lot of money, I've got to get to this money pretty quick.
Okay, and that's really the fastest way to come into a large sum.
It is. And then sometimes they change their mind, they think that they're going to die before they're going to need the money, and they think they can go ahead and just, you know, let their family have it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a couple of people lately that we were trying to buy their policy, and they were so sick they decided that they weren't going to make it. And we did have one that passed away.
Wow. So when person X, say, decides, I'm going to sell my policy, how long, what's that time frame from when they actually decide to when you bid on it and then finally
it
hopefully win it?
It takes 30 days.
Okay.
It takes
so
about 30 days. And that's why we've always got 5 to 6 million that we're bidding on every day of our lives.
Mm.
And sometimes we call for another LE, another life expectancy. Maybe we see only one, and we're worried, and we want to see two.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll call for another one to see if there's one out there. If not, go get one.
So then you bid on these policies, and then say you get it. And then the policyholder gets paid, and they're happy they can seek treatment or yes. do whatever they need to do to go ahead and hopefully get themselves much better. And then now you've got this policy, and you need people to invest in it.
Yes.
So then what happens there?
We send out emails to all of our people that we want to put in that policy and say, okay, here's the policy, here's the LE, here's how long they've got to live, this is what you can make. This is the life insurance company that's issued the policy. Do you want in? Mm-hmm. And then they have to send us back, you know, an email saying yes, or they call, either way.
Okay.
But we have to know right away. We can't wait. And our people are slower than molasses. They are. They will wait and wait and wait until I've almost given it to somebody else or have, and then they cry and want in. Yeah, that happens all the time.
Oh, wow. So how do you juggle all of the investors that you've got with the policies that you have available?
Well, we're juggling them all the time, let me tell you, because like at Bank of Utah, we've got a set amount of people there.
Mm-hmm.
They've got policies coming due. Then we've got people over at Nevada Trust. They've got policies coming due. So we're matching everybody up every day.
So I would imagine you've got a list of regular investors that you work with. And then you've got, you know, the new investors that hear you on the radio, and they come in and they want some information, and they're just starting out. Does the new investor end up at the back of the line, or do they kind of go someplace in the middle? How do you
in the
work
middle,
that?
Probably. You know, because the ones that are already there, they're going to get priority mm-hmm. because they may have been waiting 30 days.
Okay.
So, yes, they'll get priority. And then the new ones are next.
Okay. So it's somewhat of a waiting list.
Yes. And we're putting people in as fast as we can. And lots of people think, you know, well, we've been waiting too long. And it can happen. Mm-hmm. But it's worth waiting for.
Yeah, I was fixing to say, you know,
when you make as much money as our people do, it's worth it.
Which is why you have such a huge list of clientele and investors that you already work with. They come in, they invest, they make a ton of money, and then they keep investing. They don't go away.
That's right. And so, you know, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to get in. You know, we had a client this week, and I think I had talked about this client at one time. She had oil leases, oil reserves, and she was going to sell it. And they messed it up. And so she couldn't do it. And she finally got to invest with us this week. And she put, you know, a large amount from this oil deal with us.
Wow.
And now she expects us to get busy and get her some money. Make her some money.
So is it the kind of situation where somebody invested with you for the first time and then, like, oh, wow, this is better than I really thought. I want to be in many, many more.
Yes, and we had somebody call this week and said, you know, I want to put more money in,
mm-hmm.
you know. And this happens all the time, you know.
I guess that's a good situation to be in.
It is. It's a good situation to be in. And, you know, it's limited, so they need to get in, you know, and get busy.
Yeah. So your long-term investors, they know what to expect. They know how the process works. Say I hear you for the first time today, and I'm wanting to call you. Say I'm going to call you on Monday.
Okay.
What can I expect to happen over the next 90 days?
Oh, well, you'll be in policies. If you're in with us, you'll be making money.
But I start. I come in, I make an appointment, I call, and then how do we navigate?
Well, then you make an appointment. We go through it. You bring your wife, hopefully, and then you can make a decision. You can go home, think about it. Take a couple of weeks, come back, and we'll do it if you like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you show new investors policies right away, or
no,
is there...
No, because they're not ready yet.
Okay.
They haven't even opened an account yet.
Oh, Lord, so we have to open an account first.
First, you've got to open an account. You have to have money with us.
Gotcha.
And once you've got money with us, then we're ready to talk.
How much money?
Well, a minimum of 100.
Okay.
And if you want to bring 300,000 to 500,000, a million, whatever.
Okay. And then, so I open the account, and then we talk about it, and I say, okay, Faye, we've talked about this, we've discussed it, we're comfortable, we want to move forward, here's $100,000, let's open an account, what happens from there?
Okay, we've opened the account, they've got $100,000, we'll put that probably in one policy, it's not enough for two.
Okay.
So we'll put them in one policy, when that matures, then we'll put them in something else.
So then we sit tight. We don't have to worry. We don't,
you don't
have to
do a thing. Just sit back and wait for it to mature.
All right. And then all of a sudden we get a check for whatever percentage.
No, you don't get a check. It goes into your account.
Goes into the account.
That's right. If you're at Nevada Trust, it goes in there. If you're at Bank of Utah, it goes in your account. Then you've got cash to do it again.
All right. And then we just keep going. And then maybe this time, instead of doing one policy, would we do two?
Yeah. Because you've got more, you've got your profit. Mm-hmm. So now we've got enough, we'll probably do two policies.
Okay.
And divide it up. And then you may say, Faye, I'd like to put $250,000 with you.
Okay.
And that happens all the time. People come in maybe $100,000, and then when that first policy matures, they say, oh, let me put some more in.
It's too good. I want some more.
Yeah. They say, you know, we've done well. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
And so lots of times they do that.
So it ends up being a situation where you invest once, you get your profit, and then you invest, and then it just there's always something, you're investing in something, there's always something that's maturing, there's always money coming in, there's always reinvesting. And so at this point, now the ball is moving, and it's a well-oiled machine.
That's right, and it works very well.
Yeah.
And then they always have to remember that it's not liquid till it matures.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't put it in something else till it matures and pays out.
Yeah.
Then we can put it in another policy.
So you're in, and then when it matures, then you can have it. Until then, don't call up and say, hey, I need $10,000 of my money back. It doesn't work that way at all.
No, it does not. And if they're that small investor, they should not be with me if they want $10,000.
Yeah. So, all right. So this is all about growing your money so that you can go ahead and retire. But the key is to actually get started. And I know there's been a lot of people, you say all the time about how people procrastinate. And then when they finally come invest, then they say, oh, I wish I had done this earlier. So now is the time to get up, especially if there's a prediction that the stock market may have some issues in the next 90 days or so. This is really the time to do it. So what's the phone number that people need to call to get started?
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring.
Cool. And every Saturday morning around this time, we started getting into trivia, and you always bring some interesting fun facts. What are we talking about today?
The first automobile in Texas.
Really?
When do you think the first automobile came to the state of Texas?
This is going to be a dumb guess, and I'm sure I'm wrong, but I'm going to say 1912.
Oh, no, 1899.
Well, of course. See, I told you it was wrong.
Colonel E.H. Green of Terrell, Texas.
Really?
Yes. It was an 1899 St. Louis Phaeton runabout.
Ooh.
It was manufactured by the St. Louis Motor Carriage Company in Missouri. It had a buggy top. It was powered by a two-cylinder engine and steered with a tiller-type deal. It did not have a steering wheel.
Really?
Yes. And Colonel Green was the president of the Texas Midland Railroad. He moved from New York City to Terrell, Texas in 1892 at the age of 25. His mother, Henrietta Green, was a millionaire and known as the Witch of Wall Street.
Really?
Witch of Wall Street. Apparently, she acquired this ailing railroad through a foreclosure and gave it to her son at 25 years old.
Wow.
Isn't this fantastic? And Green, even though he'd been given it, he was competent at his job, and he turned the railroad into a profit-making business.
Talk
about that. At 25 years old.
Wow, that's a big break.
Isn't that a big break? But he went to St. Louis. This is during the St. Louis World Fair.
Oh.
And he saw this company, and he saw this car through the window, the showroom window. And he went over there, and they cleared the way for him because they said, this looks like a guy of means. Doesn't look like he's poor. And he was going to a committee meeting. When he saw it, it caught his eye, went through there, and, of course, they invited him in, and he bought the car.
Wow.
They delivered it to Terrell, Texas, and they transported it to Terrell by locomotive. And it arrived in October of 1899. And he was so excited. And the engineer and co-owner of the company came with it, you know, to do the delivery. And so, you know, in Terrell, Texas, they see this car. Can you imagine?
No, I
first
can't.
First car. People went crazy.
It had to, the people have probably been saying, what in the world is that?
And they had done all this in secret, you know, but here it showed up, and it was not over. And he saw a great opportunity, and he said, you know, I believe if I could take this into Dallas, and it's 35 miles into Dallas, this would be a great marketing opportunity. And he won Mr. Doris to receive publicity for the St. Louis Motor Company. So they said, let's get in the car. Let's go to Dallas. And this is 1899. Do you know what the roads were like in 1899?
They weren't luxurious highways that we have now.
And they set forth on this historic country cruise. But the trip was not without incident. Along the way, they encountered a farm wagon, and they crowded them off the road into a ditch. It would have been serious. But, you know, there was a blacksmith in Forney, Texas. And he was the first person to repair an automobile in Texas.
Really?
He'd never seen a car. Can you imagine?
I wonder how he knew what to do.
I don't know. But it took 5 hours to drive 35 miles. 5 hours to get to Dallas. Oh, my gosh.
He'd have been faster on horseback.
Yes. And it was the first automobile in Texas was a St. Louis car. And it was the first town to have an automobile on its streets. It was the first road trip from Terrell to Dallas. The first accident. And the first repair happened in Forney, Texas.
So he got all of it. He
had all the first in the whole world. 25 years old.
Wow.
The first automobile on the railroad and drove this car all the way to Dallas, 35 whole miles.
In 5 hours.
5 hours. But can you imagine how easily it turned over? This is what I was thinking.
Yeah.
It was so light. And, you know, had a little buggy top. And I believe it was red. And can you imagine that little thing turning over and them having to repair it?
I'm sure the shocks on that thing probably were not very good.
I don't imagine the shocks were very good at all. And they were all so excited.
Yeah.
You know, and can you imagine what happened when they got to Dallas? The horses were scared. The carriages were scared of this little car coming down the road.
Yeah.
And it never did tell what the St. Louis Motor Company, how many cars they sold off of it.
Wow.
But I'll bet they sold some.
I'm sure they did.
Because we had a lot of millionaires even back then in 1899.
Yeah.
And we don't know what the car cost.
You had to be pretty much a millionaire to get something like that.
You had to be a millionaire back then to afford it.
Yeah.
You know? And it was pretty funny. They brought it, you know, on the train for it. And... the co-owner of the company came. He was so impressed by this young man buying a car.
Wow.
And but here they were. They were showing it at the St. Louis World Fair. You know?
And it had to have been very uncomfortable to ride in.
Oh, I don't mind. It was comfortable. And the other thing, Mr. Green always had to have a driver. He had lost a leg years ago.
Really?
Yes. And so he had his driver driving the car.
Never actually drove his own car.
He didn't get to drive it, but he rode in it. And that was the important thing to him, have that beautiful car to ride in up and down the road.
Well, it looks fancier to have somebody drive it for you.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it seemed like there was a lot of millionaires that all had chauffeurs back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was an interesting time.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
How cool. I wonder what that sounded like.
It's probably
a sound that people hadn't heard ever before.
They'd never heard anything like a car motor. Yeah. And, of course, it had that little... tooty horn on it.
Yeah.
To scare people away.
To
tell them we're coming down the road.
Wow. Here we come.
First automobile.
That's at age 25.
25 years old.
That is amazing.
A little Phaeton car. St. Louis Motor Company.
Guy got an incredible break right there. It doesn't happen very often, but it sounds like he had a little bit of fun with his money.
He did. And, you know, ever since, the automobile has been a big part of Texas.
Oh, yes.
You know, and you know, when they have the car shows, I get excited.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, I think all these, the Maserati and all these others are really something.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we're big on foreign cars in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You take Mercedes.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, now Jaguar's owned by Ford.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
I know.
We you know, all the others. We have so many cars are made in Italy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big thing.
It really is.
And a lot of them started out as racing cars. You know, Maserati started out as a racing car.
Mm-hmm.
six guys got together and decided to build it handmade as a racing car.
That's incredible.
It is.
You know, back in 1899, when he was exploring his first car, he had no idea what the automobile would become in just really just a few short years.
That's right. And, you know, we have so many that are racing cars.
Mm-hmm.
And they took the racing cars and then made the high-performance cars we have today that'll go 200-something miles an hour.
Yeah. We'd love to go fast.
Texans love fast speed. I don't know why.
Well, it's flat and straight, so, I mean, you got a perfect landscape to do it.
That's right. Interstate 20.
Yeah. Exactly. Now that's going to turn into a race car, a racetrack here in a minute.
I know. We shouldn't have said that.
No, we shouldn't.
Highway Patrol will be busy today.
It's your fault if it is.
I know.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is
877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And, of course, the website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. So you can go there and you can find past investments. You can find real money, hard data of what people have been making by investing in life insurance policies. And this is really a type of thing where you want to get started as soon as you can, obviously. But is there a point where it's actually too late
to get started? If you're in your 80s, unless someone is with you on this, we would not do it. If you have a daughter, a niece, a grandchild on the account with you, yes. But if you're in your 80s, we're not going to let you do it by yourself.
Is it because it's a different type of investment that people aren't used to?
Yes,
and
you
hard
know,
to comprehend?
They need someone to guide them through it.
Uh-huh.
And I do not think someone in their 80s can do it without guidance.
But as far as making the money goes, as far as, you know, getting a really nice return, it's okay to still do it in your 80s.
Yes, it's all right to make money in your 80s as long as someone's helping you.
Yeah. Is there any time that it's too early?
No. Let me tell you something. If people had done this in their 30s, mm-hmm. can you imagine what they'd be worth today?
No, I can't.
But we do have some young people that are doing this because of their parents are with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some that, you know, were out of the country, and they've now come back to the country. But their parents were guiding them and helping them through this. Then we've got some people that did a joint venture with their children.
Which means that the kids kind of tag along with them to kind of see how it works. And then at some point.
Well, and the parents put up their money.
Okay.
Said, okay, this is what we're giving you. But you cannot take it out for 4 or 5 years till you get a little older.
Sure.
And they're teaching them how to do it.
And it really kind of teaches them responsibility. It teaches them in how to invest, and so that they are prepared for retirement. So that it, you know, all of a sudden they don't look up and they're 75 and saying, "Oh my goodness, I haven't done anything. I'm not ready. I have nothing."
It teaches them responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just running out here and blowing every dime they get, it teaches them to be investing and to be more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need.
Sometimes when these types of things happen, do the children go off on their own and eventually open up their own accounts?
Yes, they do.
So they just keep on going on their own.
Yes, they do. And they're very conservative, principled people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you sit down and you go through the entire process with them and you map it out and say somebody is in their 30s. Say they're 35 and they say, okay, I want to retire when I'm 60.
Or 59. We've had several lately, 59 years old, retiring.
Wow.
Yes.
That's incredible.
It is.
But they were planning early, and so they were ready for when 59 came, and it wasn't like, oh my goodness, I need to make a ton of money in like 6 months.
That's right.
So do you sit down and say, okay, if you're 35 here, you want to retire when you're 59, do you put together some kind of a trajectory and a plan, like, okay, we want to put you in this many policies per year? How does...
Well, and a young person is not going to have as much money usually as mm-hmm. their parents. So they may only have $100,000. So, you know, you have to do it slowly for them, you know, in small amounts.
So it may take a little bit longer.
It's going to take longer for them, a lot
longer.
But
starting early is a huge advantage because you've got that time.
They've got the time to do it. They just need to get busy and do it.
Wow.
And I think it's great when parents help their kids and say, okay, we're going to do a joint venture here. We'll put up this much money and we'll do it this way.
Mm-hmm. on average, what would you say is like a typical average age of people who are just starting?
Usually they're 45 to 50 that start with us.
Okay. Yeah. So you don't have to be in your 30s or your 20s.
No. Most of our people are mature. You know, they're 45, 50 years old when they start.
Now, I know that there is a baseline to get started as far as, you know, assets and all that.
You've got to either have $200,000 a year in income, mm-hmm. or you have to be worth $1 million. Either or. You don't have to have both.
Okay.
But you have to qualify on one of those. So if you've got oil leases, if you've got oil property, if you've got ranch income, different things. A lot of people have a lot of rentals, a lot of house rentals.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have all these house rentals, you know, that counts. It's a good asset also because you've got income from it. So, and then they've got their 401k. Some of them have an IRA. In addition to that, some have a Roth and a traditional IRA.
Mm-hmm.
So people have all kinds of assets. And they add it all up and see which way they're going to go on it.
What about your main residence?
No, you cannot count your main residence.
Okay. Automobiles?
You can count the automobiles. But most of the things they count are other things.
Okay. All right, so what types of things do people need to do to go ahead and get started? Do we need to get some documents? What do we need to
do? Yes, they need to bring their documents in. They need to bring in their statements to prove up, you know, how much money they've got. And then what account this is coming out, we have to send that into the bank.
Mm-hmm.
The bank has to have a copy of what they're going to do.
So if somebody comes to see you for the first time, they make an appointment, come see you this coming Tuesday. Uh-huh. How long does the process, how long until they can actually start, assuming that they're good with everything, they understand everything, they want to go fairly quickly, how long does it take before they're in their first policy?
Probably 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, that's not long at all.
Yeah. And it might be a little longer because we've got to get the account set up first.
All right. So it's a fairly quick process.
Yeah, I think it's quick enough.
Wow.
And with what they make, it's worth it.
Wow, yeah.
You know, and if they look on our website, and what everybody's made this year, it's shocking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, we've had $34 million payout, and that's over $8 million in profit.
I think I know the answer to this, and so I'm going to go ahead and dare to ask it.
Okay.
Have you ever had somebody come invest for the first time, go through the whole process, they get their return, and then they say, I'm done?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. No, because they make too much money.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic. All right. So this is really the time to get started, especially with a projection and a prediction that we may have some trouble towards the end of the year with the stock market. This might be the time to get out and start investing in more secure, more safe investment avenues.
I would think so. And they may have some old 401ks. Lots of times people will move two or three old IRA 401ks to us that they left at companies they've already left.
Yeah.
And they just forgot it and left it there. And that needs to be moved. And moving that over to us would be a good thing also.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Anything helps.
That's
so, for somebody who's wanting to get started, one last time, what is that phone number?
877-588-3330.
And you can take appointments this coming week?
That's right.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Faye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.